Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 says, the people that walked in darkness. The word darkness is found in the King James translation 142 times. Darkness. In Genesis, it speaks often about darkness, and it uses that word in that book as darkness opposing or opposite of light, night rather than day. God separated the light from the darkness. In the book of Exodus chapter 10, it says that darkness was in Egypt as a plague. There wasn't any light at all, it seems. As a matter of fact, the King James translation would add an adjective in that word, or before that word, to describe it that probably we can't quite comprehend from that descriptive word, but that would be thick darkness. Have you ever had thick darkness? I was out hunting Thursday night, and when the sun set and the shadows lengthened and it became dark, it seemed to be really dark. Cloud cover, there wasn't any stars shining, there wasn't a moon shining. It looked like it was dark. But what does thick darkness mean? I know that sometimes it's so dark that it feels like you could put darkness on because it's so dark. Maybe that's what he means, thick darkness. Chapter 20, it also uses the words thick darkness. When God was in the darkness on the mountain and Moses drew near to the darkness where God was. It frightened the people. The Israelites, they were frightened by what was going on, what the appearance was. Some of them may have even, as I think about it from my personal perspective, may have tried to reach out within themselves to Moses. Moses, don't go there. That's thick darkness. Deuteronomy chapter 28, it uses the word darkness as it speaks about somebody who is blind. Have you ever known somebody that was blind? Have you ever tried to imagine being blind? Maybe you've walked through the house at nighttime when all the lights are off and there's no night lights. And there's no light outside shining in and it's pretty dark. And you think, well, I can make it from here to there because I've done it a number of times and I know where everything is. But can you imagine being blind? That darkness that is always there. Can't see at all. I would think that a person who is blind, that there is a physical darkness over them, that they would have their life stymied. Now, I've used that word before, but I didn't know what it meant until I went and looked it up. And it's actually something that Chad probably is aware of. It's a golf term. If Chad and I were playing golf together and his ball was in front of my ball as I'm trying to hit it into the cup, his ball stymies mine. It obstructs mine. It hinders mine. It holds mine back. I'm not a golf player. I don't do golf. I suppose, though, that somebody who's good enough can hit that ball and go around, and so... But being blind, stymied, their life would be surely stagnant, without vitality. I'm talking about darkness in the eye, darkness where a person could not see. What darkness? Come over into the book of Proverbs, and then you begin to see the word used there as a metaphor. It's basically speaking about blindness in terms of relationships to something else. The metaphor of darkness would be that of wickedness. The proverb writer is talking about darkness as wickedness or unrighteousness, as opposed to truth and rightness or righteousness as light. It also speaks in the book of Ecclesiastes about darkness being foolishness, or the metaphor of darkness referring to foolishness as darkness, in opposition to wisdom as light. You can probably understand that. The writer there expressing something that we can grasp pretty easily, or at least have somewhat of an understanding about, as he's mentioning foolishness as darkness and wisdom as light. It also in Ecclesiastes speaks about sorrow and sickness as darkness. And so we could understand that joy and health would be pointing or compared to light. Now in Isaiah, it speaks about darkness as an emotion. We could probably picture in our mind metaphorically that darkness would speak about depression. The other prophets through the Old Testament continue to use the word darkness, and they continue to use it in metaphorical terms or ways, means. Jeremiah in the 13th chapter uses it to warn the Israelites that darkness will come if they fail to give glory to the Lord your God. That would be a spiritual darkness, not a blinding of the physical eye, not necessarily speaking strictly of a depression or of an emotion or of light versus darkness and all of those things, but a spiritual darkness, if they fail to give glory to the Lord their God, that darkness would come. We see through the Old Testament that when people turned away from God, it was darkness. Darkness. The darkness of no light. There was sorrow and depression. There was foolishness of their sins because wickedness led them further and further away from God and His light. There was the darkness in the mind and the darkening of the soul, the darkening of the heart. Now in Matthew chapter 6, it tells us, "But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness." Again, that's a spiritual darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee, the writer goes on, Jesus goes on to say, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now the Amplified gives us a little bit of more of an open understanding of what he's saying there. He said in the Amplified, if then the very light in you, your conscience, be darkened, how dense is that darkness? How thick? The light that was in you, the light of your conscience that lit your path, that showed the way, that conscience becomes darkened, how great or how dense is that darkness? It would lead us to the understanding that light could become darkened. Now we go back into the Old Testament again, and we'll find Samuel being born to Hannah in the midst of a very dark time in Israel. What a dark and dismal day that Samuel was born into. They had not heard from God. They had not heard God's voice in quite some time. It was a dark day in Israel. The temple priests they just were not all God-fearing men. They were not all following after the things of God. There were some of them that were lovers of darkness. They were wicked and defiled men. We flip over to Isaiah, or to the 1 Samuel chapter 3. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. It was dark. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And verse number 3, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Now, that raises some question there for me. Ere the lamp of God went out in the temple. I think that it's an understood thing that was pretty much the job of Samuel to keep the lamp of God lit. Keep the burning light. That was his task. Isn't that a little bit unique that Samuel, born in the midst of this dark, spiritually dark age, was given the task of keeping the light burning? But I think that perhaps we could glean something a little bit deeper in the midst of those words of verse number 3, ere the lamp of God went out in the temple. The spiritual darkness that had enveloped the Israelite people during Samuel's childhood was surely a thick darkness. Is it possible that ere the lamp of God went out was the light for this nation? Or that Samuel was the light for this nation? That God was raising up Samuel to be the bearer of the light of this nation. I wonder if we take it to the point that ere the lamp of God went out, that Samuel was the last of the line. That if Samuel had failed to hear God's voice at this point in time, if Samuel had stumbled at the task, but you see, we know that Samuel heard God's voice and he then carried the torch of God into the next generation and beyond. Now, it could not have been, capital letters, not. It could not have been an easy life for Samuel. He was under the tutelage of Eli. But when we look at Eli, we see that Eli was soft with his sons. He was soft on his sons. His sons were perverse and wicked. And Eli couldn't find it in his heart, apparently, to correct them. What would that have done to a little sponge of a boy soaking up? What kind of an influence could that have been on little Samuel as he tried his best to stand for right? But here are these two older boys, the sons of Eli, that would scorn him or scowl at him and probably sneer at him for standing up for righteousness. I would say that it was thick, dense darkness. The New Testament opens up for us in Matthew chapter 1. And I think that as we read the New Testament, it's easy for us to understand as well. And maybe bring in a little bit of church history that's not recorded in actual Scripture. But it would open up to us that this age of Matthew chapter 1 was a time of darkness. The voice of God had been silent for hundreds of years. There was chaos. Spiritual chaos. I don't know if you've ever played that little game, Chaos. My wife and my dad like to play that occasionally, and it becomes real chaos. As the two try to use their memory and their mind to remember where everything's located, and then they begin to argue about, that's mine, no, that's mine. Humorous to the rest of us. Chaos, I believe, was the spiritual norm of Matthew chapter 1. not only chaos in the spiritual sense, but I believe that it was a political chaos too, but more importantly, was the spiritual. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Zealots, the Romans, all of them having a voice that needed to be contended with. All of them having something to say. All of them demanding to be heard. It was spiritually dark. How dark is it really? How dark is dark? As I said, it's hard for us to understand what the writer would mean when it says thick or dense darkness. How do we grasp that? We just have a mental picture of pitch black. Isaiah chapter 5 said, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness." Maybe we could go back into the Old Testament a little bit further and pick up a little cliche that became the commentary for their time. Everyone did that which was right in their own eyes. I believe that's found two times in the earlier part of the Old Testament. Everyone did that which was right in their own eyes. And when that becomes the commentary for or of the times, you can be assured that it's dark. Because without a foundation, without a principle to stand on, a principle that guides or moorings that binds somebody to a foundation, everybody's doing that which they think is right for themselves. It's dark. Darkness settles upon the land. The minds and the souls of humanity are darkened. The foundations have been shaken. Spiritual moorings have been broken. People cry out against right and promote wrong. Isn't that really a twisted logic? As twisted it is for us to think that their minds are twisted, they in turn think that our minds are twisted. And we find that so hard to grasp. How can you say that wrong is right? And they turn around and say, "Well, how can you say that wrong is wrong?" I think that it was just a statement to be made, and yet it seems to be the focus of so many people's lives. Maybe you've seen it, maybe you've read it. It's terrible for a mother to have to be worried that her son might get shot every time he robs a store. And yet isn't that what we find to be the philosophy in certain circles, the twistedness of their logic? Another description of twisted logic would be that animals must live, whether they're young, they're old, or unborn. But human life, that's not of much value. This week in Indiana, yes, our state of Indiana, this week in our state of Indiana, people are fussing because somebody posted a picture of an unborn white-tailed deer that was found inside of an animal that they shot, a white-tailed doe that they shot to provide meat for their family. And they are rising up because they need to stop this late-season hunting to save all of these deer fetuses. You know where I'm going with that, don't you? Yet it's sometimes those same people that will cry out for women's rights and neglect the rights of the unborn and the silent voice of the unborn. Children. Twisted logic. Do that which is right in your own eyes. tolerance as long as you don't buck my way of thinking. Love. Let it be defined any way and however the individual chooses to define their love. The Lord's Day. Go to church maybe, but the rest of it's mine. On and we can go with how we become doing right in our own eyes and justify our desires and justify our means. You see, what we see, what we find is the spiritual moorings, the foundations, the principles have been broken. And the commentary of our day in which we live, and even the church world in which we live, could be stated, everyone doing that which is right in their own eyes. Well, you see, we haggle and argue and reduce to non-essentials everything that doesn't suit our fancy. We minimize as much as we can because we have our desires or our plans. And Isaiah said it, and how true is it for us, the people that walked in darkness? But in the midst of that darkness, in the midst of the darkest days, perhaps the darkest days of recorded Scripture, or recorded history in Scripture, Jesus came. Luke 2, chapter 2, verse 6. The days were accomplished. Galatians 4, 4 said, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, when the days were accomplished. In the fullness of time. Isaiah says it, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. In the fullness of time. Not in the nick of time. God doesn't work in the nick of time. God works in the fullness of time. God works when the days have been accomplished or when the time has been accomplished. God works when He sees fit to work, not in the nick of time. We may think it appears to be the nick of time. We may think it appears to be, the last strand of our nerve. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Philip Bliss penned the song, words to a song that has been going through my mind quite a bit over the last month. I kind of think the more I read it, the more I sing it to myself, that he surely must have wrote it on December the 25th. I don't have any basis for that, I just think. Listen to the words that he said. The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, His glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. No darkness have we who in Jesus abide. The light of the world is Jesus. We walk in the light when we follow our guide. The light of the world is Jesus. Ye dwellers in darkness with sin-blinded eyes, the light of the world is Jesus. Go wash at His bidding and light will arise. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The light of the world is Jesus. The people that walked in darkness, yes. The people that still walk in darkness today is real, yes. But the light of the world is Jesus. Somebody said, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. You see, it's the gift of light. The gift of His light that shines in the midst of the darkness. Is your spiritual mind and eyes darkened this morning? Let the light of the world shine upon your soul. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Later on in that chapter of John 3, for this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. This Christmas season, this Christmas time, the light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light. It is shining for thee. Can I go back one more time to previous thoughts? Let your light so shine before others that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Why? Because the light of the world is Jesus. No other name among men whereby you can be saved. The light of the world is Jesus. Let's stand together.